students to graduate.
In order to successfully gain employment, it's hard with a bachelor's degree, let alone a high school GED.
A top advisor to the governor says Quinn will work with the General Assembly. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
And that's our noon hour look at WILL News. Our next report this afternoon at 4:30 during All Things Considered.
WILL programs are made possible with support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In weather, tornado warnings and watches were posted, still posted, across Kentucky and Tennessee as a line of violent storms rumbled east. Those tornado warnings and watches were posted as of late this morning. The National Weather Service's Storm Center says the system has produced at least 16 tornado sightings since last night in an area stretching from Nebraska and Kansas across southern Missouri to Illinois and Kentucky. At least 9 people have been killed, 6 of them in Harrisburg, Illinois. In east central and southeastern Illinois today, very windy conditions will affect a large part of the area. Southwest winds gusting to 45 miles per hour will be common. A wind advisory is in effect from Nebraska east through Indiana. A high pressure ridge moving into the mid-Mississippi River Valley tonight will bring quieter weather to the region tonight and tomorrow, and temperatures will remain well above average. High temperatures today will range from the upper 30s across northern Iowa to near 70 degrees in Indiana, and lows tonight will range from the 20s in Iowa to near 40 degrees along the Ohio River Valley. The forecast for east central Illinois, a wind advisory is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening. This afternoon, partly cloudy, warm and very windy. Look for a high in the mid-60s. The wind from the southwest at 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts to 45 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, cooler, the low 35. It will be windy early with a west wind from 20 to 25 miles per hour gusting to 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little cooler, the high 55. The wind will be out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 42. The wind from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday showers are likely. There's also a chance for thunderstorms. Expect a high in the low 60s with a wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. And the outlook for Friday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early, then a chance of showers or snow showers after midnight. We'll see a low in the low 30s Friday night. Temperatures across Illinois and Indiana at noon ranged from the low 50s to the mid-60s, and most locations were reporting sunshine. It was 52 degrees at Rockford, at O'Hare 58, Bloomington 59, Mattoon reported 63 degrees, and Carbondale 64. 64 also at South Bend. In Lafayette, it was 66 degrees, also 66 at Terre Haute. Indianapolis reported 68 degrees. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 65 degrees, the dew point 37. The relative humidity 35%, the wind out of the southwest at 28 with gusts to 35, and the barometric pressure 29.61 and falling. And at 12:41, 63 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. To the list of weird-sounding hybrid words of the digital age, like Googling and tweeting, we can now add pinning, as in Pinterest. It's sort of an online scrapbook or bulletin board, and it's one of the fastest-growing websites in history. NPR's Teresa Tomasoni reports.
Last month, over 10 million unique visitors signed on to Pinterest, but some of them, like Billy Winburn, are still trying to get the hang of it. At an office in Alexandria, Virginia, Jennifer Folsom, who works a few desks away, is walking him through the process.
So are you on there now? You have an account, right? Mm-hmm. And are you following anyone?
No, people are following me. Actually, I'm following one or two people, but I don't know why.
But Winburn did find an architect on Pinterest.
So anything that he likes, I know I'll probably like as well.
Right.
But it could be something new, different, and exciting.
And that's the point. Like-minded people find each other on Pinterest to share ideas. They pin things they find around the web to their online pin boards, wooden watches, wedding dresses, leather iPad cases. Then anyone that follows them can see what they've pinned and vice versa. It's a place where you can save and organize things you'd otherwise have to tear out of a magazine or file away in your email. Folsom says this way you never lose track of them.
It's all in the cloud, online, organized, sort of wherever I am.
Like Folsom, most Pinterest users are women, and many of them, including Folsom's girlfriends, can't stop talking about it.
We had this hilarious incident in the Jonathan Adler store where my friend said, I've seen that chair. I like it. And the other one said, I think I saw it on your Pinterest board. Wait, it's not pinned there. So she whips out her camera, and she takes it, and she pins it, you know, as we're shopping.
On breaks during the workday, Folsom pins away, too, using both her laptop and her Pinterest mobile app.
That might be people's recipes I like or style I admire, whose organizational skills astound me, like this one right here.
She points to an immaculately organized pantry on her laptop. She found it scrolling through Pinterest's endless array of home decor photos. Then she pinned it to her home design bulletin board. On her party time board, she pins a photo of Arnold Palmer Jell-O shots poured into lemon slices.
That would be a great idea for summer barbecue. Well, I don't know Jana Braswell, but I'm following her because she looks like she has a good time.
That sort of online interaction with people you don't know is an emerging trend in social media.
At first, it was a lot about how many friends do I have, how many friends can I get, how many groups can I join.
Susan Ettlinger, an analyst from the Altimeter Group, says that's changing. Now, people want to connect with others who share similar styles and interests.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we're best friends or that we're even connected on Facebook or anywhere else, but it means that these are people that I learn from and that, you know, and who also maybe learn from me.
Ettlinger says this shift is what's really fueling Pinterest growth. 2 years ago, when the site was launched, Pinterest hardly made a peep. Now that Facebook included a Pinterest app on its new timeline, the company has a potential audience of over 800 million people. But, Ettlinger says, it's worth watching to see if Pinterest holds on to its new users.
Once people start to use it, then you really see whether they come back or not. So we really need to wait probably another, I would say, at least 6 months before we see whether this growth is sustainable.
One question is how Pinterest is making its money. The company declined an interview for this story, but their website offers this much. Entrepreneurs and venture capitalists have helped fund the company thus far, and advertisements may be in line for the future. After all, it is one of the top five referrers of web traffic to retailers. Amy Rutherford runs a home furnishing boutique right above Jennifer Folsom's office in Alexandria.
I'm getting hits to my website from Pinterest, and that's actually increasing exponentially as, you know, as people are adopting Pinterest.
Hits haven't translated into sales yet. Still, she thinks the exposure is good. So every day, Rutherford pins items from her store, and she recommends her customers use it too.
A lot of people don't know what their style is, and when they use Pinterest, they can start pinning things that they see on blogs or on the site itself, and they go back and visit what they've pinned, and they realize that they have a style.
Even if that style's a borrowed one. Teresa Tomasoni, NPR News.
A professor at Northern Illinois University is behind a study receiving national attention. Management professor Don Klemper and a team of researchers studied Facebook profiles as a way to predict a person's job performance. Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley spoke with Klemper about the findings.
We did two studies. The first study had a sample of 274 students that we got their Facebook profiles. We then, 6 months after the study, we did a follow-up study. We tracked those Facebook users, and we got some of them to give us their supervisor contact information. We then gave their supervisors a performance evaluation so that we could assess their performance and found that they predicted their performance better than those self-ratings of personality.
There are certain activities that seem to be just a definite no-no to put on a Facebook profile, things like drinking or partying. Your research found that that's not necessarily going to backfire against an applicant.
One of the indicators of extroversion that we found was the number of Facebook friends that somebody had, which means that if someone is more social, is more outgoing, they're generally going to have more friends. And that might be something that a rater might take in along with pictures and those types of things to form an impression of how extroverted somebody is.
Knowing the results of this study, then, can't someone just fake their profile?
It would be take really more effort to fake the Facebook profile than it would be the self-report personality test, because you would have to find twice as many people to become your friends. You would have to take pictures of you doing social things, or with the other traits of you doing things that show that you're open to new types of experiences, that you're more adventurous. You would have to have people in the conspiracy of having a conversation back and forth to misrepresent you, and then that profile would be basically useless for you to use in the way that most people use it.
How did you decide who would rate these profiles?
We wanted raters that were Facebook savvy, and that understood the information that's there on Facebook. A lot of the evaluations, they're done by different people with different things that they think would be disqualifying. So we wanted people that understood that the context of Facebook, and that people are social, that people drink, they're not engaging in that behavior on the job. So it may not harm their job performance at all. It may be very irrelevant information.
There are certain things job seekers can find on an applicant's Facebook profile that would be illegal to ask in an interview.
I like to say basically everything that is not legal to ask in a job interview, you can find on Facebook. So things about gender, your family situation, your age, your race, your sexual orientation, so forth and so on. Companies have been a little bit more savvy about using the information, but it's still pretty, widely done out there. The concerns that a lot of HR departments are at legal risk and need to be very careful in using the information, and that one study is not enough evidence to justify the kind of screenings that some companies are using right now.
NIU management professor Don Klemper is a co-author of a new study on Facebook profiles as a predictor of job performance. The study appears in the Journal of Applied Social Psychology. Klemper spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 29th of February, 2012. Leap Day happens once every 4 years, extra day to calibrate our calendar to the natural world. In many countries in Europe, there was an old tradition that women were allowed to propose to men on Leap Day. In Scotland, considered unlucky to be born on this day, but there is an honor society of Leap Year Day babies, and if today is your birthday, you are eligible to join. It's the birthday of the man who said, "Give me a laundry list and I'll set it to music," Gioacchino Rossini, born in Pesaro, Italy, 1792. Father was a trumpet player, mother was a singer. Boy composed his first opera when he was 14, went on to write The Barber of Seville, Cinderella, Moses in Egypt, and William Tell. It's the birthday of Dee Brown, born Doris Alexander Brown, 1908, in a logging camp near Alberta, Louisiana. His father was a timberman, killed when the boy was 5. His mother supported 4 children, working as a store clerk in Wachita County, Arkansas. Boy went to work as a printer, reporter, then as a librarian for most of his life, writing books after his children were in bed, books about the American West, including Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, a somewhat less Eurocentric version of the war between the Indians and the U.S. Army in the latter half of the 19th century. It's the birthday of Howard Nemiroff, New York City, 1920, poet, novelist, essayist, critic, playwright, editor. It was on this day, 1940, Hattie McDaniel became the first African-American to win an Academy Award. In the silent film era, most black parts had been played by white actors in blackface, but eventually black actors were hired for studio pictures, but only as a maid or cook, a nanny or a butler, and they were supposed to speak in Negro dialect, and if they didn't know how to do that, a white dialogue coach was brought in to teach them how. In the 20s, the first black actor to establish himself in Hollywood was a vaudeville tap dancer under the name Steppen Fetchett. Real name was Lincoln Perry. He played into the stereotype of the black American, simple-minded, lazy, ingratiating. He became the first black actor to receive screen credit and the first to become a millionaire. Hattie McDaniel was a comedian and actor cast in the role of Scarlett O'Hara's Mammy in Gone with the Wind, a stereotype role, but she said she'd rather play a maid than be one. At the Academy Awards ceremony where she got her award, Hattie McDaniel sat at a segregated black table away from her cast mates. Here's a poem for today by Billy Collins, Class Picture, 1954. I am the third one from the left in the third